in the transition, you know, I just thought new and more new was a great title to give a message here this morning. So that's what I want us to look at. And just starting with these notes here, predictable, usual, routine, traditional, familiar. Jesus' disciples enjoyed these five facets of their lives until Jesus. All five of these common elements vanished as a new normal replaced the old normal. Some of those guys undoubtedly had some angsty moments as their days became increasingly unlike their pre-Jesus existences. Absorbing the unexpected takes some processing. Absorbing the unexplainable can give you a headache. And so, in deference to these guys, you know, we often talk about them being dunderheads and all kinds of things, but we sometimes forget how radical the change was when Jesus started ordering their days for them. I mean, nothing was the same. Their environment wasn't the same. They didn't know what the future would hold. The wildest things happened. And so they were just kind of, I think, from time to time, overwhelmed with new. And not unlike what we talked about last week on the road to Emmaus, these poor guys, I mean, they'd never been through anything even close to this, and they were supposed to absorb in the midst of all the grief and sorrow and crushing. They were also supposed to receive with great joy Jesus is risen. It's like, I can easily see why that would be so hard to, right. Like, how do you wrap your brain around that when you're so emotionally exhausted? I mean, you really need to run back to your little charging station and get a refill, because I think it would be really, really hard. And so just wanted to use 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning, and I'll read from the Message, just to look at some of these things. So the first five verses reminded me of a phrase we've used for our church: ordinary people, extraordinary message. And the first five verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll get it right. If you're anywhere else, you won't be able to see this. But you'll remember, friends, Paul says, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's masterstroke, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified. I was unsure of how to go about this and felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death, if you want the truth of it. And so nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else. But the message came through anyway. God's Spirit and God's power did it, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not to some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. Amen. And this is what we've been talking about all morning. You know, this idea that we're who we are. We're ordinary people. We have all the same weaknesses and flaws as anyone else. But God has invaded. God has shredded our old normal and wants to establish a new normal. And so some of us, and I think we talked about this morning, some of us come into God's new normal for us kicking and screaming. I don't like this. I don't want this. I don't want to have to deal with this. I don't want to have to look at my problem. I don't want to have to look at the pain. I don't want to have to look at where I failed, who I failed. But God is relentless. You know, when we sang the reckless love of God, there's no wall he won't tear down, no lie, no shadow. It is like, that's all exciting, except when those are lies that we've told ourselves, and that those are walls that we've put up, and those are shadows that we've used to try to shadow things, push things away from being real. And he just keeps opening that up and showing us and showing us and showing us. And sometimes that's a little overwhelming, how much he shows us of the stuff that we've got in here. Or maybe it's just me and you guys aren't faced with this kind of stuff. But Jesus wants to establish a new normal, and he is relentless. He is, and it's a reckless kind of coming after us. There's nothing he won't do coming after me. And it's now been 55 years that he's been coming after me, and there are still walls and shadows and lies that he's taking care of, or at least shining light on. And sometimes I'm not happy about it. But, you know, so just like the disciples, you know, some of this journey is not easy. But we continue to be just ordinary people. And I love that Paul recognizes, you know, I didn't come as some superhero with all the fancy words and all the fancy philosophy. I just came plain and simple. And, you know, I think all the fancy and the dazzling and all that stuff got knocked out of him in his 14 years when he was put away from public view and God just did a number on him. And so the Paul we see in Scripture is not the Paul that was known as Saul. You know, God has done a work in him and torn him apart and put him back together again with great love and faithfulness and with relentless pursuit, the hound of heaven, one poem calls him. So we still remain ordinary people, but God superimposes an extraordinary message in us. In verses 6 to the first part of 10, Paul says, "We, of course, have plenty of wisdom to pass on to you since you get once you get to your feet on solid spiritual ground. But it's not popular wisdom, not the fashionable wisdom of high-priced experts that will be out of date in a year or so. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interior of his purposes. You don't find it lying around on the surface. It's not the latest message, but more like the oldest. What God determined as the way to bring out his best in you long before we ever arrived on the scene. The experts of our day haven't a clue what this eternal plan is." Boy, does that sound like 2019. "If they had, they wouldn't have killed the master of the God-designed life on a cross. That's why we have the scripture text. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it. What God has arranged for those who love him. But you've seen and heard it because God, by his Spirit, has brought it all out into the open before you." So I'm saying secret wisdom now revealed.
Yes.
In the midst of his reworking of us, he also shows us spiritual truth that, again, as we sang, I couldn't earn it and I don't deserve it. And still you give yourself, still you reveal yourself, still you show yourself, still you open up scripture to me. And, you know, and so we talk about all these issues that we have and the problems we have. And, you know, there's an old gospel song from the 80s. And the chorus says, "What sins are you talking about?" And I just hear God sometimes looking at us and going, you know, this finished work of Jesus on Calvary for you, he kind of did something about the penalty for your sins. So sometimes when we go deep into our junk and we whine about what we aren't and what we don't have and what we don't do and our disobedience and our failures and all our, you know, he must be in heaven going, "What are you even talking about?" Because when God looks at us, what does he see? He sees us covered by the blood. He sees us renewed, refreshed, new in Christ, living Christ lives. He doesn't see the pain and the problems and all that stuff. And so there's this secret wisdom that is constantly being revealed. And, you know, and so the contrast with that is, as we look at our day, as we listen to news broadcasts, as we look at news magazines or read the paper, you know, we just see insanity multiplying everywhere. And they've, you know, when he says, you know, our experts of our day have no clue what God's master plan is. Because for the experts of our day, the biggest, loudest voices in media especially, have no clue what God's plan is. Because they've erased him from the equation. And now they're trying to figure out how to make this work without God. And there is no equation without God. I mean, there's no answer. And in math class, we would often ask questions, and our teachers would routinely in math class say, "You're asking the wrong question. Reword your question." And basically what we were trying to do in our adolescent brain, we really didn't want to know how, we just wanted an answer. And the teachers were smart enough to see that, and it's like, I'm not giving you the answer, but I'll reframe it for you if you need me to. So they would never just give us the answer. It's like, you know, I'm so old that all our classrooms had a huge podium at the front with a 900-pound dictionary sitting on it. And if you wanted to know how to spell something or learn what the definition was, the typical response was, go look it up. They were not ever going to tell you how to spell it or how, what it meant or how to pronounce some words. And we need more of that. We need more of listening to God saying, I've revealed it to you. Ask me. Just come to me for that wisdom. It's been revealed. Some of the stuff we really need, some of the trials I think we keep running around and around and around and keep facing again and again and again, it's because God really wants us to live into, lean into what we already know. And I don't know about you if you've ever had to learn a lesson more than once. And if not, I'd like to know what your secret is, because it gets really painful after a while. Verses 10 through 12, number 3, Spirit received. You know, we can easily overlook this, but Paul says, the Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself? The same with God, except that he not only knows what he's thinking, but he lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that he's giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. Hallelujah. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus. And we're passing it on to you in the same firsthand, personal way. See, so often we've felt like unless we have a whole bunch of degrees and letters behind our name, we're unworthy to ever think of doing anything for Jesus. And the truth is, it's the total opposite. That's one of the lies the enemy throws at us, and sometimes is perpetrated by the church. You've got to be this well-read, well-studied, you know, doctor in order to do anything for the kingdom. And Jesus said, unless you become like little children. So we need to hear more what Jesus says and less what the world tries to dump on us, because the more the world dumps on us, the less we as a church interact with the world. The more we take up, as we're going to be talking about in kinship, the more we take up defensive positions and we get walled in by the world, and it's almost like we've closed our doors and we've become us for no more, and we're trying to protect ourselves as the world keeps beating and beating and beating. And some of you remember the family that was with us from Zimbabwe for a while. And, you know, they went back. But the thing that was happening there in Zimbabwe for a while were the tribes would come and they would surround a property and they would drum them out. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they would just surround the property and drum and drum and drum, and they would never have a moment's silence, and they would just stay there until it drove the family out. And you know, I think sometimes that's what the world does to us. The world just keeps pounding and pounding and pounding, and the more we focus on what the world is saying and the less we run back to our little recharging stations and say, "Whew, I need some perspective. I need some fresh perspective here because I'm drowning." You know, the more we do that, the less we're going to hear the pounding in the world, because it's not going away. You know, we are moving toward, I think, what we can easily say are end times. And the enemy's not going to give up until he is totally defeated. And my guess is it's going to get worse before it gets better. And so I encourage us all to show up Wednesday night, because Garth is going to blow our heads off. figuratively. Blow our hearts up too, probably. Anyway, and then the last four verses here in 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 16, the spirit discerning, and this is a critical part of the warfare that we're in that Tammy reminded us of. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit.
Yeah.
There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit. God's Spirit and our spirits in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. That's important to underline. We can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around here who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what he is doing has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit. And so this idea of trying to figure things out, you know, I think our natural tendency is to go back to our flesh, back to our own intelligence, and say, there's got to be an answer. You know, we have a tendency to want to leave God out of the equation and try to work it out ourselves. And, you know, just like the garbage in, garbage out for computers, you know, if you put garbage in, the only response you're going to get is going to be every bit as useless as what was put in. What the world continues to pound into us is garbage. But if that's what we receive, the only response we're going to get is more garbage. And I think that could preach another message. Mm-hmm. And Garth can pick up on that on Wednesday. So we need to recognize how much God has done in us and is doing in us, and recognizing who we are in Christ. Not overcoming superheroes flying around with capes and all that stuff. We're ordinary people, but with an extraordinary message that God has inserted into our hearts. And it's burning in there. And so the more we give voice to it, the more we live it out, the more we just show people that we do march to the beat of a different drummer, that there's something that's got a hold of us that's bigger than anything in the world. It gives us a response to the insanity that's going on, a measured, full understanding in light of eternity kind of answer. And the world will think it's foolishness. You know, the world is not going to go, oh, wow, you guys are phenomenal. No, they're going to call us idiots. So we run back to our little charging station. Little ordinary people running back for more extraordinary message, because that's never going to change. So every day is new. God's plan is to show us more and more and more of his glory. And if there's anything that is countercultural, it's talking about glory in the midst of today's headlines.
Right.
You've got to be kidding. Where is their glory? Oh, there's glory. There are so many amazing things. Like Keith was talking about Robbie Dawkins, or, you know, or the little ones that nobody else hears about other than Mark's rescue by Mary and friends.
Yes.
Getting him into Cleveland. You know, she's not going to be a world-renowned hero that everyone sings about, but she's a hero in God's eyes and in everyone who knows her. And there are tons and tons of these people who are everyday heroes, who aren't seeking limelight and never expect their names or their pictures to be in any national or international publication. But they're just doing what God's called them to do. And so every day is new. His glory, his power, his plan of salvation is continually at work in us. And we have no idea what he's going to do through our time, whatever time that is, at St. Mark Lutheran. But it is a really new day. It's a new opportunity. It's moving us back into York County. And I just think we need to thank the Lord for this great opportunity. The great opportunity for Jeff,
yep,
because we probably wouldn't have existed if he hadn't opened his home and said, this is it, this is God's provision.
Yes.
But St. Mark, for now, for whatever season that is, we didn't think we'd be at Jeff's more than 3 months. It's been 19. So who knows how long we're going to be at St. Mark. But I think we can go in with great hope, and it's a place we could maybe invite people more easily than we could in a home at the end of a cul-de-sac where neighbors might start getting a little antsy. And praise God, they've been so patient. I've never heard any negative things from anyone. Nobody's been out there putting posters on our cars and protesting and calling police. So, you know, God is wonderful. So we have a new day that we're moving into. And yeah, so let's pray together. Father, we are so easily overwhelmed with this talk of your glory and your reckless love for us and how you pursue us and how you chase us down and how you shine light into those places, even when we're unwilling to have light shined in there. And you want to teach us. You want to bring us close. You want to equip us for the warfare. Because as Tammy's reminded us this morning, the warfare is for our souls. Even now, the enemy is targeting us. And so sitting back or shrinking back is not working. We need to recognize that you have given us weapons in order to move forward and chase back the darkness. So help us to know that we are fully equipped, that we have everything we need. In our hands is the supply that you have made available to us. We're ordinary people, but wow, what an extraordinary message you've put in our hearts and that you want to put in our mouths. And it might not change anything from the exterior, but when that fire burns in us to live out loud the things that you've put in us, the new direction, the new sense of purpose, we will be like you more and more, unstoppable. So thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the ways you're responding to the most desperate of circumstances, the way you're intervening as the God of all comfort in the most hideous of mourning in this country right now. And we don't know how you do it, but we know you do it, and you cause faith communities everywhere to rise up and respond with your love and your patience and your faithfulness. Mm-hmm. So thanks for this day. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.